This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Compounding your interest with an economy of words. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Supplies of highly profitable General Motors pickup trucks are at historically low levels. Let's find out why. Jeff Gilbert is here, CBS auto reporter based in Detroit. That's the first question, Jeff. Why the shortage?
Well, the shortage is that the sales have actually been stronger than anybody expected during the pandemic, and the factories are having trouble keeping up. Pickup trucks, especially popular, and as you mentioned, particularly General Motors, because they were hit with a double whammy. They hadn't actually restored the production that was lost during their strike last year.
Is this the sort of thing where GM can just step up production, or is it just not that easy?
Well, that's what they've been doing, but people still want to buy the trucks, so that's good for the company, but it's bad for replenishing inventories. Say factories can only make so much, and again, with GM in particular, short of pickups going into the pandemic, they're further behind than everybody else. But in general, pickup truck inventories are fairly light for just about everybody.
Have they figured out what's behind the demand? I mean, why the rush to buy a pickup?
Well, the pickups have been very popular. And here's what's happening during the pandemic is much of the economic damage has been on the lower end of the market. So people who have money to spend still have money to spend on the higher end items. So you still have the popularity of pickups. There have been good deals. And you think GM would just say, I'm not going to put a deal on my pickup. I can sell everyone I make. Well, you still have to keep up with the competition. So the deals are pretty solid as well.
So as far as prices, I mean, does this mean they're going higher as the supply and demand is kind of out of whack?
There are still some deals to be found, but they're not the great deals that we had in April and May when everything was pretty much shut down. So the average transaction price of vehicles has been going up throughout the pandemic because of the law of supply and demand. So, yes, there are deals out there, but they're not exceptionally generous.
Thanks so much. That is Jeff Gilbert, CBS auto reporter based in Detroit. GM struggling to keep pickup trucks on the lots. Still ahead, Personal Finance Wednesday. Steps to getting pre-approved for a mortgage. What to know when you go to buy.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Cisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Hurricane Sally wreaks havoc as the storm plods along the Gulf Coast. A top government doctor says politics are not playing a role in federal COVID reporting. In Personal Finance Wednesday, getting the mortgage process rolling with pre-approval, also on the money beat, saving your credit score after a late credit card payment. WBBM Business, the Dow up 172 points, the NASDAQ is down 49, and the S&P is up 4 points. Oil is up 4.5%. We have sunshine in Chicagoland, hazy for sure, but we're getting sunshine as we head to a high of 83 degrees today. Right now, 73 O'Hare, 75 degrees along Chicago's lakefront. Rescue crews in Gulf Coast states are rescuing people trapped in their houses by rising floodwaters.
Hurricane Sally is affecting areas from the Florida Panhandle to Mississippi and even well inland. National Weather Service senior forecaster David Eversole in the Mobile, Alabama office says some areas have already recorded receiving more than 2 feet of water.
They've received so much rain that emergency services people are out rescuing people. There's been people who have water come in their homes.
And he says it's not letting up.
Sally's moving so slowly, so it just keeps pounding and pounding and pounding the area with tropical rain and just powerful winds. And it's It's just a nightmare.
Eversole says some rivers are hitting all-time flood records, and they're also under a tornado warning. I'm Julie Walker.
The head of the Centers for Disease Control denies allegations of political interference in its work.
Dr. Robert Redfield said the center's published reports have not been watered down to avoid contradicting President Trump.
We're going to continue to give Congress and the nation the best public health advice. We're not going to let political influence try to modulate that. At no time has scientific integrity been compromised, and under my watch, it will not be compromised.
The health officials said continued progress in mitigating COVID-19 depends on the public using masks and avoiding crowds, as well as getting flu shots. In Washington, Irv Chapman, Bloomberg Radio.
If you're working remotely or anytime you're home, just ask your smart speaker to play WBBM News Radio for all the latest developments. And remember, a podcast of the Noon Business Hour, always available at WBBMNewsRadio.com, the Radio.com app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Noon Business Hour presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Less than 5 weeks after pushing football and other sports to spring in the name of player safety, the Big Ten Conference has changed its mind. Let's get the latest from Luke McGrath, breaking news editor at Bloomberg News, based in New York. Luke, it's a bit of a surprise, but I'm guessing there's a lot of pressure on these schools.
Yeah, hey, Cisco, how's it going? Yeah, it was totally. I mean, players, coaches, politicians, we saw President Trump tweeting about it. They were sort of surrounded with pressure to play this season, but it was really, it seems to be enhanced testing capabilities that was able to sort of push this over the finish line to actually allow for a season to happen this fall and even be potentially ready in time for the college football playoffs.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's really interesting is just the timing of all this. It seems like these players really have to get ramped up to play a full contact sport, one that's really hard on your body.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, right now the plan is to start the weekend of October 24th, so just a little bit over a month, and players are going to start being tested every day, and there are is a sort of green light system in place for both the teams and local populations to sort of monitor the COVID situation in each area. And, you know, there's not a ton of room for error right now. Teams are scheduled for 8 regular season games, and then every team in the Big Ten, whether it's the conference championship or not, having a 9th additional game. But if a game has to get postponed or canceled, there's really not a lot of wiggle room. So as long as the testing protocols go as planned, it could work. But as you've seen with a lot of other, you know, college football games and sports more generally, postponements have popped up all over the place.
And the pressure seems especially strong given what's going on so many college campuses with so many people getting COVID.
I know. I mean, especially, I mean, what stuck out to me is Ed Orgeron just yesterday saying, I think it was 3/4 of his team had already tested positive for the virus. Things like that seem like this might just be, I don't know, it could end poorly. I, you know, as a sports fan, I hope it all goes well, and especially player safety and campus community safety in mind, that it all goes according to plan. But it just seems like, you know, there's been a lot of positive cases, especially on college campuses across the country. And, you know, putting football back into play sort of mixes it up even further, though. The Big Ten is not planning to have any fans aside from maybe families of team players and coaches coming to stadiums for the season.
Thanks for all of the information. That is Luke McGrath, breaking news editor at Bloomberg in New York. The Big Ten is going to play football this fall.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Mesirow Wealth Management. Today we're focusing on getting a mortgage, starting with a pre-approval. We welcome Brian Wickard, president and owner at Acunet Mortgage in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Brian, let's first talk about the importance of getting a pre-approval before you start shopping for a home.
It's absolutely critical, not only for your own peace of mind, but what you're trying to do is instill confidence in the mind of that seller that you can make good on your offer. And I want everybody to know there's two types of pre-approvals. One where the lender just gets your credit score and then talks to you and takes your word for how much money you make and where the down payment's coming from. That's called a credit verified pre-approval, which I call flimsy. The one that you really want to get, and what every seller should be looking for in the details of that letter, is a pre-approval that clearly states the lender has verified all three legs of the mortgage approval stool, which are verified credit, verified income, and verified down payment and closing cost money. That's, by the way, where all the problems pop up, is in income and down payment. The credit report's the credit report. That's a piece of cake. So Acunet's got the branded version of what we call the rock-solid guaranteed pre-approval. We happen to guarantee ours, but what you really want, whether you're going to a bank or a credit union or an independent mortgage company like Acunet, fully verified all three parts of the approval stool.
And that's going to help in a tight market where you're actually getting some bidding wars for some houses these days. It seems like having that sort of pre-approval would actually help you get the deal.
I think it's essential, and especially, you know, we try to make a team out of it and make sure that the agent that's working with the buyer helps the seller understand that, hey, you know what, our pre-approval letter is a little better than the rest. By the way, Redfin, which is a nationwide brokerage firm, said that 55% of offers were getting multiple offers.
That's amazing. 55. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, a lot of that going on. So what do people need if they say, all right, pre-approval, a rock-solid pre-approval is what I need? What do they need to bring to the mortgage officer?
Well, here's the cool thing. Most lenders, including us, you can get started with the application online. A lot of companies, you know, whether you go with the nation's largest lender, Rocket Mortgage, we have a similar system now that'll actually show you your real credit scores instantly when you're going through that online approval process. But then what we need to do for most people is we just need your W-2. If you're, you know, working like at WBBM, for example, or if you're an employee at Acunet Mortgage, we need your W-2 and a pay stub, because most people have normal income. Then when it comes to the down payment, hopefully it's all in one spot, your money for the down payment. But this is where it sometimes gets really glitchy when people say, well, yeah, you know what? I'm going to get a gift from my mom, and then I'm also going to break my piggy bank and sell my motorcycle. And when the money's coming from all over the place, that's when it gets difficult. But typically, 2 months of consecutive bank statements is what we need to verify the down payment.
So if you're going to do that, if you're going to get the down payment from multiple sources, it sounds like you should do that a few months in advance so you can show that it's been sitting in an account for a while.
Exactly. Or at least we want to work with that person. And by the way, getting gifts for down payment is completely fine. We just want to help that customer verify it. I'll say one other thing about that. In this competitive environment, more down payment is better. It's really hard for that first-time buyer putting 5% down to compete. Because when you're a seller, you're looking at that down payment percentage as a sign of strength. The person who's putting 50% down, you like that offer a lot better when you're the seller than the person that's putting 5% down. So a lot of times we'll work with those first-time buyers and say, hey, do you have an aunt, an uncle, a mom, dad, grandparent who might be willing to give you some money? Let's verify that. They may not actually end up having to give you that money, but we want to be able to verify it so that we can write that letter with the largest down payment possible. One other last thing is if you're self-employed, if you're going to use income from a business where you own 25% or more of that business, approval criteria has gotten dramatically worse. It's really bad. And so you really, really, really make sure you're talking with that lender about getting a pre-approved if you're going to use income from business that you own 25% or more of.
Good advice. That is Brian Wickert, president and owner, Acunet Mortgage in Waukesha, Wisconsin. That's the first dose of Personal Finance Wednesday. Tune in tomorrow for Technology Thursday. Still to come, a second round of Personal Finance, repairing the damage from a credit card late payment.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The second dose of Personal Finance Wednesday. A late payment can hurt your credit score, but there are things you can do to limit the damage. Let's get some advice from Ted Rossman, industry analyst at creditcards.com, based in New York. Ted, what can people do? They sometimes feel like that late payment is going to haunt them for a long, long time.
Hey, Cisco. Yeah, the best thing you can do is get caught up as soon as possible. Now, you should know that at least in terms of your credit score, you're not typically going to see any damage there until you're 30 or more days late. However, even a single day late can incur a pretty hefty late fee from your card company, usually up to $29 for the first offense, up to $40 for subsequent offenses. There's some other pitfalls too, like you might lose your rewards, you might lose a 0% interest promotion. So you definitely want to get caught up ASAP or call the card company and let them know if you're really struggling. It'd be better to do that in advance, But do it as soon as you can.
If you get to the point where you have that 30-day late, and so it gets reported on your credit report, is there anything you can do to ask the creditor to remove that? Do they not do that sort of thing?
You can definitely give it a shot. Again, hopefully you don't get to this point, but if it's already happened and the damage has been done, you should at least try to unwind it. What you're referring to is normally called a goodwill request. It's really just asking the card company for a favor and, you know, hey, could you please take this off my credit report? No guarantee it'll work. In fact, a few companies like Bank of America and Chase say that they don't honor these requests. But other ones do, and it's at least worth a shot. You can typically start by making a call to customer service, maybe pleading your case. Hey, sorry, it was a one-time slip-up, if this is true, of course. You know, normally I'm a good customer, and, you know, whatever happened, maybe you were traveling, maybe, you know, you had some sort of medical issue. Plead your case. You can also try in a letter. I would start over the phone, and then you could also follow up with a letter. A lot of people suggest certified mail. Send it to customer service. If you could even find a specific person, like maybe somebody you talk to or a manager or an executive, sometimes when people send a bunch of these certified letters, it's worth a shot, and sometimes it works and the damage gets unwound.
Thanks so much, Ted Rossman. Good advice. He's an industry analyst at creditcards.com, limiting the damage from late credit card payments. If you miss any part of today's Noon Business Hour or any other, the replay podcast is available at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.